Alrighty, Chag Sameach. Here we are, right? Shavuot. And it's amazing how 7 weeks can go so fast. The message today is called The Outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the Work of Yah. And for the people of Yahweh all over the world that are part of His first fruits, I think it's a really, really encouraging, exciting message. So I hope we embrace it. But more than embracing it, I hope we put it to practice. So let's start in Acts 2, right? Acts 2, where it started almost 2,000 years ago on that very first New Testament and New Covenant Shavuot. It says, Acts 2 in verse 1, and in the fulfilling of the day of Shavuot, right, the fulfilling of it, the full 50 days, they were all with one mind in the same place. And suddenly a sound came out of heaven as a groaning spirit along by a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues of fire appeared to them, being distributed and sat down in each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave ability for them to speak. And Jews were living in Jerusalem, devout men of every nation of those under the heaven. And when that sound occurred, all the people gathered and were perplexed because they were hearing each man among them who were speaking in their own language. And all were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, we can't grasp this. Are not all these those speaking Galileans? And how do we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those living in Mesopotamia, both Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, both Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the region of Libya over against Cyrene, and the temporary residing Romans, both of Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, in our own languages we hear them speaking the great wonders of Elohim. And all were amazed and puzzled, saying to one another, what could this be?" So just think if you were there. Put yourself back and think you're in this Shavuot meeting, you know, and hundreds of people are there, right? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes. It's being poured out. People start, they're speaking. This is very interesting because they weren't doing ba-ta-ta-ta-ta like the false tongues you hear today. But they were speaking and people were hearing in their own language. And a miracle was happening. So, we know Shavuot is being poured out again. We know Yahweh's Spirit is. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But what would be your reaction? Would you just be down on your hands and knees and praising Yahweh and just be so filled with His Spirit and thanking Him? And yet, look at the reaction of some, verse 13. But ridiculing, others said, "They are full of sweet wine." People were actually accusing them of being drunk, of coming to services drunk. And this is the key that I think a lot of people simply don't realize, that Yahweh's Spirit is being poured out in this time. And the ones that it's being poured out on in this congregation, I mean, they are so happy. They're so fulfilled. They're so exciting. It's getting more and more exciting every day, and particularly every Shavuot. And this Shavuot, I think, this year is going to be an amazing year of the Holy Spirit coming out. But there's others that ridicule and say they're full of sweet wine. There's people that are getting nothing, that may have never had the Holy Spirit to begin with. And if they did have the Holy Spirit, they're quashing it. But they're not changing. They don't feel it. They don't feel the Holy Spirit. And they're mocking the ones who are having the Holy Spirit. So we have to see this in the world today. You know, narrow is the road. And, you know, constricted is the way to eternal life. And few will go on it. And as true believers, you can't equate what Yahweh is doing in the world by the 99% of the people out there that don't experience any of it. And in a time where there should be more happiness, more joy, more zealousness, because this is actually happening now, and it's not happening to a Noah, it's not happening to an Abraham, it's happening to a congregation of thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the world that Yeshua has. He has a remnant, not only our congregation, He has a remnant in different areas all over the world, and everybody that's part of that should be happy. And yet the world is unhappy. The world is miserable. The world is depressed. More children committing suicide. All these bad things. And why? Because they don't see it. They don't see what Yahweh is doing. And this is something that I think it's just an amazing scripture how even when the Holy Spirit was manifested, how blind some people are. When Yeshua was on this earth, and the Jews say they know he walked on water. He healed the crippled. He healed the leper. You know, he even raised the dead. They saw it with their eyes. And what was their answer? We got to stop him. If we don't stop him, our place is going to be taken. And it's so evil. It's so wicked. Because it's people that are allowing the worst of their human nature to just overtake them in everything. So we really have to, embrace, you know, the end time Shavuot. But standing up with the 11, Peter lifted up his voice and spoke out to them. Right? Peter, the one always coming out of the box. He said, "Men, Jews, and all those living in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. For these are not drunk, as you imagine, for it is the third hour of the day, about 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, Yahweh says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And I will pour out my spirit on my servants and my handmaids in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will give wonders in the heavens above and the miraculous signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and great and glorious day of Yahweh." So although here what we're reading in Acts 2 was a type of what the Apostle Peter was quoting in Joel 2. Joel 2 is about our time though, right? Because in Joel 2 it doesn't say anything about people speaking in other languages. It talks about what? It talks about his spirit being poured out and people prophesying and seeing visions and having dreams. And I tell the story of the old woman, I think now she's either 104 or 105 in Kenya, that the year before Yahweh started this work from Israel, that she actually saw me in a vision and Yahweh told her exactly what I was going to do. And when I met her, she knew my face. And even the little space between my teeth, to that point that this woman knew and recognized me and knew it, that this was going to happen. And this is the times we're living in now. So although what happened 2,000 years ago in that first Shavuot may have been a type of this, we are living in the real one. We are living in the time where now Shavuot and the outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit is coming alive. That it's not a type anymore, but it's the end time fulfillment of it. And there's so much more that's involved in this. Let's go to Haggai 2. Haggai 2. Because this is only the beginning. The outpouring of the Spirit isn't just so that people could say, "Wow, what's going on? He's speaking in this language and I'm hearing it in my language." Or, "He doesn't speak Romanian. How? And is Romanian coming out of his mouth?" Those are amazing miracles, and it's proving of Yahweh's Spirit. But what Yahweh is doing now with the pouring of His Spirit is for us to bear fruit. It's to bring to fruition the work that He's doing in the end time that couldn't be done without His Spirit, that could not be done by human beings, and certainly couldn't be done by a person or anybody else, but only by the Spirit of Yahweh. Haggai, the second chapter, also about the times we're living in now, and look what it says. Starting in verse 2, "Now speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Yehoshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people." So it's very interesting. If you read Haggai, tiny little book here, right? Just two chapters, actually, but two really, really important chapters. And end time chapters, end time prophecies in this book. Zerubbabel, which means born in Babylon, and Yehoshua, the high priest, are a type of the two witnesses, no doubt about it. And now they're being empowered in the end time. And look what happens. But also the remnant of the people. So it's not just the two witnesses that are empowered with Yahweh's Spirit, who we believe to be Mikhail, Michael, and Gabriel, the two cherubs. But also the remnant is also empowered with that Spirit, as we're going to see here. And he says, "Who is left among you who saw this house in her former glory? And how do you see it now? When you compare it to it, is it not as nothing in your eyes?" So here it is, right? In this last generation, and I hope everybody has read my book, The Gates of Hell Will Not Prevail Against Her. If you haven't, and you're listening to this, Please write. We'd be happy to send you the book because it tells the history of the congregation from 30 AD up until today. And in these last days, right, I came from a part of that congregation that was called Church of God, which came from Church of God Seventh Day. So we know the Anabaptists came to America and some of the pilgrims were Anabaptists, right? And they formed these Sabbath groups over there. That was part of the Philadelphia congregation. And then after that, the Sardis congregation came and also the Laodicean congregation. So when I came in, though, the Church of God Seventh Day that started in the about 1860 to 1863 under Gilbert Cramer, later the Church of God, the worldwide Church of God that I came from, came out of that congregation, Church of God Seventh Day. And if you look at that congregation, they were the ones that actually started this work. You know, beside the fact of Andrew Duggar being in Jerusalem back in the 1950s and 60s and doing a work over there and laying a foundation, like him or don't like him, Herbert Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God did an amazing work. They were the fourth largest income-producing congregation in the world when you think of how big churches were. At one point, they had the largest Sukkot celebration worldwide. They had more than 150,000 people worldwide keeping the feast in hundreds of areas. They had thousands of congregations and thousands of elders. And it was a major, major work that was going on. And again, they used Matthew 24:14, which I'm going to go to in a minute, about the work coming. I don't believe they totally understood that. They thought it was only their organization, which was not true. But when I look today as someone who came from that remnant, I'm 36 years now in this walk, and I see, you know, they had this you know, multi-million dollar headquarters out in Pasadena, and, you know, they had all this land that they owned around the world. And like I said, I mean, all of this money and you know, multi-million dollar college and all these things, even an airplane. And I look at the work that they did, and not to say it's built on physical things, but it was a big, massive worldwide work. A television budget of whatever it was, maybe, you know, $50 million a year just in television and radio. And here we are, you know, this tiny little congregation, you know, maybe 30, 40,000 people worldwide scattered, a couple hundred elders and deacons with us, not one paid employee, not one paid employee worldwide. And this is what I think, you know, who among you is left that saw this house in her former glory, and how do you see it now? You know, and there's quite a few brethren with us that were either part of Church of God Seventh Day or Worldwide Church of God that came to the true realization and truth of the name of Yahweh and Yeshua that are part of our congregation. Many, many people in our congregation that were not part of that ever. But it really makes me think as I read this, you know, of it is, you know, a little work. And in the end, the Philadelphians are not going to be a gigantic multi-million dollar congregation, but they're going to be faithful. You know, those of little faith, but they have not denied his name. Little strength, not little faith, a lot of faith. But they have little strength, and they have not denied his name. And then he says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says Yahweh, and be strong, O Yehoshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong and work, O people of the land, says Yahweh, for I am with you, declares Yahweh of hosts. With the word by whom I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit stands among you. Do not fear, for so says Yahweh of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. We were just reading about that in the book of Yoel. And I will shake the nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, says Yahweh of hosts, right? He will shake the nations. I'm going to talk about that. Because now is the time that Yahweh is going to pour out his spirit, and he is doing it already on the nations. And like I said, whereas before, wow, you could travel 3, 4, 5, 7,000 miles, and there might be a handful of people that are coming to truth, which is great. We've done it. We look at places like Thailand. That's not a major, major work. But while do we appreciate and love the people that are there? Strong believers that are holding to the faith. And I would travel 100,000 miles to see the people there and encourage the people there. But in these end times we're living in, now we're starting to see where I'm contacted. Sometimes even by heads of countries, like what happened in Liberia. The president of Liberia is coming to Israel and looking for me. And praise Yahweh, Yahweh willing, I'll be going back there in a few weeks to Liberia. And the last time going there, you know, thousands of people coming to the faith at one time, being baptized. And this is what we're seeing. And we're seeing it all over Africa. We're seeing it over Asia. We're seeing it over Central America, mostly in third world, but some first world places. But we're seeing this. We're seeing that Yahweh's Spirit is being poured out, and he's shaking the heavens, and he's pouring out his Spirit. And he says, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says Yahweh of hosts. We're not doing it with a $200 million budget like the Worldwide Church of God had. We're doing it with virtually nothing, with no money. You know, doing it with a tiny little website with more than 10 million people that have come to it now. And it's amazing because most of it is freely downloaded. Freely you receive, freely you give. People can go on that website. They can download the Bible, the books, the sermons, everything for absolutely free. So we don't need hundreds of millions of dollars. What we need is a heart to serve Yahweh. We need a heart to be able to go out there and do it. And look what he says. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former, says Yahweh of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says Yahweh. Because the Church of God groups, they were corrupted. And even though, yes, they told us that Christmas was pagan and Easter were pagan, the way they ran their organizations was just as pagan. The hierarchical structure of putting one man at the top and almost like a king over the congregation. And the way they ran it, it wasn't the way it was. And yet, and Yahweh allowed those organizations to break up. Church of God Seventh Day, that's been here since 1860. Where are they today? A few thousand people scattered, not doing much of any kind of work. None of the Church of God groups, the same thing. But Yahweh says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former. Because now Yahweh is doing a work in our day that we would not believe it if he told us. And I know, like I said, being 36 years in this, I would not have believed it if you even told me 10 or 15 years ago that Yahweh would bring me around the world, meeting world leaders, baptizing thousands of people, that Sunday congregations in the thousands would be wanting to join us, and that this work would be going on like this. And here we are. He's pouring out his Spirit. It's happening. And yet, of course, there's some out there saying, yeah, they're drinking sweet wine. There's people that aren't seeing it. Who cares? I mean, we ignore that. We don't need the man's assessment of what we're doing. All we need is Yahweh's blessing. That's about it. The glory of the latter house shall be the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, says Yahweh of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says Yahweh of hosts. In the 24th of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of Yahweh came to Haggai the prophet, saying, so says Yahweh of hosts, now ask the priest the Torah, saying, behold, one bears holy flesh in the wing of his garment, and touches his wings to the bread or boiled food, or wine or oil, any food. Will it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. So we know that if you are holy, or you have something that's holy, that's set apart like the Sabbath, and you go out and you touch the world with it, does what you're touching with it become holy? Of course not. And that's why the Sabbath is a day that sanctifies us from the world. And every time you're in contact with something that's not of the world, and that's why we don't go to restaurants on Shabbat. It's more than not paying for the food, you know, not transferring money. That's part of it. But for me, the biggest part is, why would I want to go to a restaurant on Shabbat? Why would I want to be around a whole environment of Satan society? Why would I want to be there? Every single person, every single thing that's not of Yahweh, that's not sanctified, that you touch on a Shabbat or on a holy day, you're defiling yourself, like it says here. You can't take something holy and touch something unholy and think that that unholy is going to become holy. But the other way, and Haggai said, if the unclean of the body touches these, it is unclean. And the priest answered and said, it is unclean. Oh, no. Well, first, verse 12. If you touch anything, if something holy touches something that's not holy, will it become holy? And he says, no. And then Haggai says, if the unclean of body touches these, is it unclean? So if the unclean touches the holy, is it unclean? And the priest answered and said, it is unclean. And Haggai answered and said, so is this people and so is this nation before me, declares Yahweh, and so is every work of their hands, and so is that which they offer is unclean. And this is the main reason why Yahweh has inspired the congregation now not to host the feast anymore in Jerusalem. because of this very reason. Because now the whole land from head to toe has become defiled. Everything is defiled there. The government is defiled. You know, you see the way it's corrupted, how it doesn't work, how it doesn't run. Even the fact that Prime Minister Netanyahu is brought up on 3 corruption charges that he's definitely guilty of. They not only allow him to run again, but the people reelect him because people don't care. Just like America. Most of the people say the same thing with President Trump. We don't care if he's immoral. We don't care if he's a liar. We don't care if he committed crimes as long as the economy's going good. And that's the bottom line. As long as the economy's still going good, he'll probably get reelected. If not, he won't. But this is what the people look at. They don't look anymore at what is kadosh, what is holy. They're just looking at what is commercial. And that's why the latter house will have greater glory than the former house. Because the former house, when Yahweh was working with the previous congregations of the true lineage, everything was glamour. Everything was building buildings and building a headquarters and building a physical house. When in the end time, Yahweh is building a spiritual house. And Israel is part of it. Babylon is the same thing. Babylon is corrupted from head to toe. You know, everything is defiled. And in reality, it's basically the whole world now. And this is one of the reasons why it's time to go to the wilderness, which I'll be talking a lot about that in the weeks and the months ahead. But he says, Haggai answered and said, so is this people and so is this nation. He's talking about Israel. Before me declares Yahweh. And so is every worker of their hands, and so is that which they offer is unclean. I mean, just 2 days ago, can you imagine in Jerusalem, they allow the gay parade, putting the gay flags all over the streets. And that was a small one. You know, coming up in another week or so, they're having the big one in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv in all the world, Tel Aviv is the number one gay city in all the world that they all go to. Hundreds of thousands of people will be coming there for that parade. It is modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's what Yeshua says in Revelation 11, where the two witnesses are killed in Jerusalem. He says, which is spiritually like Egypt and Sodom. So this is why we have to look at why the latter house will have greater glory than the former house. Because this is a house that's being built from the heart. This is a house that's being built from the spirit. And this is a house that's not being part of commercial Babylon. It's where now it's the time for us to come out and be like that congregation in the wilderness, to be more like the Waldenses, and to be more like the Amish, and to be more like the Mennonites, and be more like our forefathers, the Philadelphians, who actually were doing these things and living these things and left us an example. John 2 and verse 18. John 2 and verse 18. And it's a new day. That's why the more that we yield to the Spirit, the more that Yahweh will pour that Spirit out. John 2 and verse 18. It says, then the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? Right? Can you imagine? I always wondered about that. Wow. He's healing the leper. He's healing the blind. He's healing the crippled. He's raising the dead. And they say, show us a sign. But again, it's the same ones who thought, hey, they're drunk. It's the people in the world cannot see the Holy Spirit. And don't expect them to. Don't expect them to. Many are called, few are chosen. And most of the people in the world will not see where Yahweh's Spirit is moving. You know, and that's why praise Yahweh that he's given his congregation eyes to see and ears to hear. That we do see a sign happened in 2017, the Revelation 12 sign, that hasn't happened in 7,000 years. I think something that happens once in 7,000 years and is written in the Bible is enough to me to open up my eyes. Beside the different constellations that have happened and all the other things that are happening in prophecy, the Tabernacle of David being a big one that I'll mention in a few minutes. But this is, they're asking for a sign. And Yeshua said to him, this is the sign he's going to do. Tear down this sanctuary, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, the sanctuary was 46 years being built, and do you raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke about the sanctuary of his body. Then when he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled that he said this to them, and they believed the scripture, even the word that Yeshua spoke. So this is why the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Because our forefathers before us, and I'm not judging them, from Worldwide Church of God or Church of God Seventh Day or any of the other ones, you know, Yahweh is their judge. But yet, Yahweh's Spirit did not give them a mind to see that the sanctuary of Yeshua is his body, right? That we don't need massive organizations. We don't need world headquarters. We don't need big buildings that are costing millions of dollars. What we need is a humble and contrite spirit to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. That's all we need. And I look and I believe we're doing just as much work as they did with 1,000th of the strength, you know, that they had, but with 10,000th of the heart, 10,000 times the heart that we're doing it with. So here it is. In the end time, the sanctuary that's being rebuilt is the body of Messiah. And this is why, to me, it's such an abomination of starting to kill a Passover lamb again at the Temple Mount. And that's only one part of it. The big part of it, they had a conference a few months ago in Jerusalem about where the true Temple Mount was. Nonsense. They had no proof that the Temple Mount is where they're talking about. It was clearly in the city of David. But the thing that caught my eye was, it really wasn't about where the true temple is. That whole conference was about building a third temple and starting animal sacrifices again. And we know the temple is the body of Yeshua. And that's why Ephesians 5 and verse 30 says, "For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones." Wow. Think about that a moment. We are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones, right? Bone to bone is like stone to stone, and the temple's being rebuilt. But it's not being rebuilt stone to stone in a physical structure. It's being rebuilt bone to bone in a spiritual body. For this, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will be ikad flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak as to Messiah and his congregation. So this is what it's about. It's about that Yahweh, through his ambassadors, is bringing this kingdom now to the world. So yes, we've been 22 years in Jerusalem as a sign of this end time, of the work that Yahweh's doing. And I will continue to be there as long as Yahweh wants me to be there, doing anything Yahweh wants me to be. But now the work has got to go worldwide. Now the work is something for Yeshua to return. Yahweh is not just pouring his spirit out just on Israel or just on Jerusalem. He's pouring it out worldwide. And we need to take that work to the world and to the nations for that. Acts 2 and verse 36. Because, you know, like I always say, as much as it is a great honor, it is more a great responsibility. So the same way in the congregation, you know, in the Laodicean times we're living in, I've said this for several years now, probably less or around half the people that are baptized actually receive the Holy Spirit, because it's not some kind of game or trick. You know, it's not a parlor trick that you're going to sit there and you're going to go underwater and somebody's going to lay hands on you and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes. No, there is a requirement to it. There's a responsibility and there's a requirement to it. And that requirement, as we're going to see here in Acts 2 and 36 through 40, is to be obedient, to believe, to have full faith, and to be separated from the world. So Acts 2 and verse 36 says, "Then a surety let all the house of Israel acknowledge that Yahweh made known this same Yeshua whom you crucified. He is both Yahweh and Messiah." Praise Yahweh. "And hearing, they were touched in the heart, and they said to Simon Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men, brothers, what shall we do?'" So the same way when I go somewhere, and many times now I'm going to places where people are brand new, I've never met them, they're not part of our congregation, and I'm giving the same exact type message that the Apostle Peter is giving in Acts 2, showing them the importance of Yeshua being the Messiah, showing them the importance of what Yahweh is doing in the end time, the importance of Israel being a nation again. And that's what they say when I'm done. They're convicted because they see it. The proof is there. And they're convicted in their heart and they say, "What shall we do?" And look what Peter said. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Yeshua, Yahweh, for the forgiveness of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Spirit of holiness, the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is to you and your children and all those afar off," right? It's worldwide. "And as many as the Master of our Elohim shall call." And with many other words, he earnestly testified and exhorted them. What is he exhorting them? Saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Be saved from this perverse generation. Do we see the parallel? The Apostle Peter, just a few verses before this, it's the same chapter, the first Shavuot of the New Testament congregation is reading the book of Yoel about Yahweh pouring out his spirit in the end time, which is clearly for us. And then this is what he's testifying to them, that in order to be saved, right, in order to be a first fruit, you have to repent, be obedient, change from your former ways, be baptized, believe, have full faith that Yeshua is the Son of Yahweh, and that forgiveness only comes through his blood, and be saved from this perverse generation, to be separated from the world. So the more you're into the world, the same what I just said on Shabbat when we were reading in Haggai, the more that something that is unclean is violating your Sabbath or your holy day or your life, the less the Holy Spirit can work. It's that simple. So there's people that don't want to see this because you know why? They love the world and they want to be part of the world. And they want to somehow feel that they can be part of the world and it's not going to affect their spiritual life. Several years back, there was a man that I met. He had come to, he's not part of our congregation, but he came to Jerusalem for a feast. And wow, what a deceptive guy. One of the most deceptive people I think I've ever met in my life, because he acted really nice, trying to give gifts and even money to people. But this man was living in a city, in one of the worst parts of the city, where there's prostitution, where there's all kinds of bad bars and all this stuff going on. And he said he would go out at night, you know, going to these places, going to these bars, and not to drink, not to do with them, but he was going to witness. And that's what he was doing. And I thought, what a liar. What an evil liar. Because, you know, when you're going to go into a bar, you're going to go into a place where there's all kinds of debauchery, that you know it before you go in there. And you walk in, you're not walking in with the Spirit of Yahweh. You're walking in alone. And this is the problem, that in life we're living in a defiled world, and people will work in jobs that are defiled and it doesn't bother them. You know, they'll go into defiled places. They'll have friends that are totally defiled. And that's why I say, if that's not bothering you, then it's because the Holy Spirit's either not in you or you've quenched it to the point that it's just about ready to leave you. And if you want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see, you have to use it. The more you use it, the more will be given to you. If you don't use it, the little you have will be taken away. So this is what we need. Let's go over very quickly here the three things we need, or the requirements for the sanctuary to be members of the sanctuary of Yahweh and members of his kingdom. First thing is obedience. Revelation 14 and verse 12. Revelation 14 and verse 12. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are the ones keeping the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua. So very clearly, I'm not going to go into more of that. We have many, many things on that online and messages. But clearly, we have to be obedient. If we want to be part of this end time wonderful outpouring and work that Yahweh is doing, we have to be repentant and obedient. And it's not a one-time thing. Repentance is something that we do every day of our life, and we continuously have to be growing in repentance. Again, we have many good messages online about that. We have lessons on that to read, but that's it. Believe and have full faith. Jacob 1 in verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask from Elohim, who gives to all freely with grace, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, being driven by the wind and being tossed. For do not let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Almighty. He is a double-souled man, not dependable in all his ways. So again, there's people out there that are trying to work up faith. You don't work up faith. It is a gift of Yahweh. You have to ask for him, but you have to believe him. That's the bottom line. It's so simple. Hebrews 11. It's impossible to please Yahweh without faith, because those who come to him must believe he is, and is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you're going to live there in doubt and unbelief of Yahweh, can you imagine? I mean, a being that has no beginning, no end, created everything with his breath. I mean, it can do anything. If you can't even have faith in Yahweh, then where are you going from there? And yet the same people will have faith in themselves. They will trust themselves, but they will not trust anybody else or Yahweh. And it's pride. It's pride that holds us back from that. But like it says here, it's a double-souled person. You know, if you don't believe Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, then Yahweh is never going to pour out his spirit on you. And you will not be in his kingdom. Because we have to surrender ourselves to him in order to be in the kingdom. And number three, be separated from the world. Jacob 1 and verse 27, pure and holy service before Yahweh the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So this is pure and holy service before Yahweh. Do you want pure and holy service before Yahweh, or do you want defiled service? What's it going to be? Because Yahweh hates the world. Yahweh's not part of this world system. Satan is the God of this world. And we need to be unspotted from the world. So again, doing good works, visiting orphans and widows and people in hospitals, pure before Yahweh, and keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. Since 2015, in the Shemitah, Yahweh has been pouring out his spirit. It doesn't happen all at once, the same way when you're first baptized, it doesn't happen all at once. The more you use it, the more you're going to receive it. But without a shadow of a doubt, brethren from all over the world, brethren, elders, people, when I travel there, they write me. There's no doubt that this is happening. And the signs that Yahweh has been showing is healings, all kinds of amazing healings from people that were blind, deaf, cancer, mental illness, infertility, over and over and over. You know, like I said, when I was in Ethiopia, in one meeting, more than 42 people were miraculously healed that came up for anointing. In one meeting. So the fruit of the congregation is bearing, is proof that the Holy Spirit is being poured out. And that's one of the reasons why Yahweh does it. He does it for two reasons. Number one, when you're strong in the Holy Spirit, more miracles will happen. It's a natural thing. Why don't miracles happen other times? Because of pride. Because Yahweh's not going to give the glory to a person. I can't do a miracle. I could barely put my pants on. Never mind do a miracle. But the reason why Yahweh can do a miracle in me is if I'm humble enough to know that it's his power. It's not my power. I don't have any power in me. To dust I am, to dust I will return. And when the congregation is growing in humility, then more miracles are naturally going to happen because the glory is going to Yahweh. So that's the reason why he does it. And also as a sign to where he's working. That's the reason why I often wondered for years where in Jacob 5, where it talks about if someone's sick, go to the elders of the congregation for anointing. And the prayer of the sick will heal you. And I thought, that's not really practical, especially in the ancient world. I mean, an elder could be hundreds, if not thousands of miles away. Why would a sick person have to go to an elder? And it's simply for judicial order. It's to show where Yahweh's Spirit is working. Because there's 2 million or more Christian churches out there today. And Yahweh's Spirit is not working in those. It is not working in those churches. Doesn't mean Yahweh doesn't love the people. Doesn't mean he might not be working in some of those people. I believe Yahweh is working in Catholics, Protestants, Muslims. I think he's working in everybody to a degree, trying to get them to come out of their false religion. But his spirit is not working in those religions. Yahweh's spirit doesn't work that way. Mark 4 and verse 24. Mark 4 and verse 24. And as I'm giving this sermon, I just keep hearing a voice in my head saying, what a wonderful Shavuot this year. What an amazing Shavuot. Mark 4 and verse 24. It says, and he said to them, watch what you hear. Watch what you hear, okay? That means don't be surfing the internet for all of these false websites. Like I said, all the time, you know, when we have people write in, whether it's on the website or they write in to a letter by mail, and you always get these questions, you know, about the flat earth or the rotating Sabbath. Who's ever writing me did not think of that. They heard it from somewhere. They heard it from a false website or a false teacher. And the Bible very clearly says, watch what you hear. The first thing Yeshua warned about, right, in the Olivet prophecy, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, is to watch for false teachers. You know, watch for false teaching. That's what he says here. The first thing he's saying is watch what you hear. Guard your mind, you know, guard your mind and guard your heart and guard your eyes and what you see and what you hear. Watch what you hear with what measure that you measure. With that measure that you measure. It will be measured to you, and it will increase to you those who hear, right? So if you have ears to hear, what is being measured to you, meaningly the Holy Spirit, is going to increase. For whoever may have, more will be given to him. And the one who does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. Right? It's talking about the Holy Spirit. You either use it or lose it. If you're not surrendering to Yahweh's Spirit and allowing it to work in your life, you know, then it's going to be taken away from you. And he said, so is the kingdom of Yahweh. As if a man should cast seed on the earth and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and lengthen of itself, as he does not know. For of itself the earth bears fruit, first greenery, then an ear, then a full grain in the ear. And when the fruit is ripe, immediately he sends forth the sickle, for the harvest time has come. And here we are, it's harvest time. And he said, to what shall we compare the kingdom of Yahweh? Or with what parable shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard, which when it is planted in the earth, is the smallest of all the seeds that are upon the earth. And when it is planted, it grows and it becomes greater than all the herbs and produces great branches so that it is able in its shade to nest the bird. So what is he comparing it to? A grain of mustard, which is the smallest of all the seeds. Remember what we read in Haggai, the beginning of the message, right? Who has seen this house in her former glory? And now we see it now. But that's what it is. It's like a grain of mustard. So yes, we're not the multi-million dollar congregation. No, we don't have the million dollar headquarters and businesses and airplanes and cars and all the other things that happen, because we're like a mustard seed, you know, that it grows in the hearts and the souls of human beings. But when this is done, the work that Yahweh will do now, and it's not a very long work, like he says, Romans 9, 10, 11. It's a short work that Yahweh does in the end. That Yahweh's work now, as we're seeing it, is a worldwide work that's going all over the earth, that his Spirit is moving people to come to his truth. And that's what it is. He's building a sanctuary. And the sanctuary is the body of Messiah, as we said. And we are members of that in individuals. So this is the work he's doing. This is what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit's about. It's not about for me to get all these spiritual gifts to heal people or to speak another language. It's about Yahweh building up a body worldwide like nobody's ever seen before. A seed takes time to grow, and so does the Holy Spirit inside a believer. The more it's used, the more it's going to grow. So this is what he says, Matthew 25, I'm not going to read the whole thing there, the parable of the talents. We've read it many times, but we see, right? We see that Yahweh, there's a starting in verse 13 here, right? He says, therefore be alert, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. For it is like a man who went on a journey, and he called his servants and delivered his possessions to them. One indeed he gave 5 talents, another 2, another 1, each according to his ability. And then he goes on the journey, you know, Yeshua, when he's ascended up to heaven. And then in the end he comes back and he's taken accountability. And the one who had 5 made 10, the one who had 2 made 4. And let's come back to verse 24. And the one who received the 1 talent coming up, he said, Master, I knew you, that you're a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. And the amazing part is, no, he really didn't know. He didn't know the master, because the master really isn't a hard man. The master is a loving man, a kind man, a merciful man. And this is someone just trying to make excuses because he didn't want to work. And being afraid, going away, I hid your talent in the earth. Behold, you have yours. Wow, just like we read in Jacob, right? That the double-minded person, the one who doubts, and why do you doubt? You doubt because of fear, because of pride and selfishness and self-worth. That people are so afraid of losing something of themselves or being injured of themselves, and they get all these fear and all this doubt. And then what does the master say? And answering, his master said to him, evil and lazy slave, you knew I reap where I do not sow and I gather where I do not scatter. Then you ought to have put my silver to the bankers, and coming I would have received my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is not, it's not fruitless. You know, it's not barren. And all you have to do, if you even just allow it to work, even if you don't do nothing, it will bear fruit. The only way that it does nothing is if you really quench it. If you, like Jesus, stick it in a napkin and hide it, you know, hide it in the sand, like happens here. And he says, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to each who has, more will be given, and he will abound. But from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him. And throw the worthless slave into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Right? So people ask me, I've had through the years, many people say, this doesn't make sense. Why would he take the little, the one? They're not understanding. It's the Holy Spirit. It's a law of nature of the kingdom of Yahweh. You have to use that spirit for it to grow in you. And if you're not using that spirit because of your own pride, you don't deserve to have that spirit in you. It's that simple. So the spirit grows in the remnant, but it dies in the rebels. It's really sad to see that. It's sad to see, but sometimes you see people leave the congregation, and just in a year or two, you almost can't even recognize them. They lose the truth. And most of the time, the name is the first thing. They stop using the name Yahweh or Yeshua or both, you know, because the Holy Spirit's not working in them anymore. And it's sad to see some of them lose the Sabbath. They go to the rotating Sabbath. They go to all kinds of crazy stuff. You know why? Because without the Holy Spirit, where are they going to get their doctrine from? The internet. And the internet is Satan's tool. It's not Yahweh's. That's why I say, very simple, ask yourself in life, is something of Yahweh or something of Satan? And the internet certainly is not of Yahweh. And most of the things, it's not the tree of the knowledge of evil, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So yeah, you could find some good things on there, but you'll find a lot more evil than good. You know, the same way with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, caused a lot more evil than it caused good. So it's sad to see it, but in the end time, this is what's happening. And now I really believe we're at a pivotal point, because we're just about there we're at that midpoint this year, you know, of Yahweh's cycle, his cycles of seven. And this is where I believe this year is going to be an amazing year for Yahweh pouring out his spirit. But it's sad to see those who turn back, they lose it completely. John 15. Starting in verse 1. Because now's the time to work. Now's the time to bear fruit. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he takes away. And each one bearing fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word which I've spoken to you. Right? We're pruned because he's already taken out from us Christmas and Easter and all of this false stuff. All the false names of Jesus and God and Lord and all the other stuff. We're already pruned because we already have the truth in us. But the pruning is not the end of it. The pruning is only so more growing can come. You know, I worked for 15 years in landscaping. You have to prune at the end of the season. If you prune while the thing is growing, you'll destroy it. You prune at the end of the season. You prune off the old stuff, the withered stuff, the bad stuff. And now the next year, it's going to blossom and grow double the amount. Remain in me and I in you. As the branch is not able to bear fruit of itself, unless it remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. And this is why people that leave the congregation and go out and start their own church or start their own congregation, it will never work. Because you have to remain in Yeshua. And Yeshua has one congregation. It's all over the New Testament. There is one body, one faith. You know, Corinthians 12, we are one body. It's very clear. And no human being in his prideful way, you know, has the authority from Yahweh to just break off and start his own church. Nobody does. And that's why when they leave, what happens? They fall away. They don't know they're falling away, but they're falling away and they don't have the truth anymore. Because if they had the truth, they would stay, just like it says in 1 John. If they were part of us, they'd be with us. The fact that they're not with us shows they've never been part of us. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, this man will produce plentiful fruit. Because without me, you are not able to do anything. And that's why I say, that's why the miracles are starting to happen. Because as a people, we are humbling ourselves and realizing that there's no good in us. The only good in us is his spirit. And any good that comes from us, praise Yahweh. Because it's his spirit doing it. Unless one remains in me, he is cast out as the branch and is dried up. And they gather and throw them into a fire and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you desire, you will ask and it will happen to you. In this my Father is glorified, that you should bear much fruit, and you will be my disciples. So that's what's required of us to bear fruit. And our work has only just begun. Wow. You know, when you look what it took to get here, and I say that sometimes to the elders as I travel, I say, you know, you may look at our congregation now, and we have, you know, 250 elders and deacons, and we have mission trips all year long, and I'm traveling all the time, and we have tens of thousands of brethren. But it didn't start that way. It didn't start that way. It took 15 long years to get to this spot where we are now, and a lot of talk, really more than 20 years when you really think about it. But now we're at a spot where Yahweh is pouring out His Spirit, and His Spirit is bringing that blessing. His Spirit is bringing that growth, and our work has only just begun. Our work has only just begun. Acts 15, because, and I've talked about the Tabernacle of David many, many times, but there was something I only saw about a year ago about this, and it made me really understand why Yahweh's Spirit now is being poured out, why all these people are coming to faith, and how exciting it is. But in Acts 15, starting in verse 13, Acts 15 and verse 13, it says, "And after they were silent, Jacob responded, saying, Men, brothers, hear me. Simon recounted how even as at first Elohim sought to take a people out from among the nations for his name," right? Elohim saw to take a people out from among the nations for his name. "And with this we agree, the words of the prophets, as it has been written, After these things I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen, and I will build again the things which have been demolished, and I will set it up." So why would he put about the tabernacle of David there? Because this is an end time prophecy. Look at the next verse. The tabernacle of David is being rebuilt in the end for what? "So that Yahweh will seek the remainder of mankind and all the nations, those whom my name is called over them, said Yahweh who made all these things. The works of Yahweh are known from eternity," right? The tabernacle of David had to be found as the sign to show the everlasting covenant is still there. It's the proof that we go out now as the ambassadors and the elders and leaders of Yahweh. When we go and we preach this to the nations, we have that proof. I've seen it with my eyes. Many of our other elders that I was blessed to bring to the tabernacle of David has seen it. We've seen the standing stone. We know, like it says in Isaiah 28 and verse 16, "And Adonai Yahweh says this, Behold, I place in Mount Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He who believes shall not hurry." So now that stone has been recovered, like it says here, in the end of days, the tabernacle of David will be rebuilt that's fallen. And why? "So that Yahweh will seek the remainder of mankind and all the nations whom my name is called over." And this is why he's pouring out his Spirit. He's pouring out his Spirit to open up their minds so that they're understanding it. So now we're going out and we're not going to an area of 10 or 20, which is great. To me, if I go to, in years past, when I used to take a mission trip and 10 people could come to faith, I was in my glory. So thankful to Yahweh. But now it could be 10,000. Now it's hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are coming to faith. And maybe even nations. Maybe even nations, as we're starting to see. Matthew 21 and verse 42 says, "Yeshua said to him, Did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, this one became the head of the corner. This is from Yahweh, and it is a wonder in our eyes. Because of this, I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you, and it will be given to a people who produces fruits." So again, it's not our brother Judah who's bringing the end time message, because they're the only tribe that's not part of the covenant yet. And as Yahweh has restored them to the land there by miracle after miracle after miracle, what have they done? Homosexual parades, New Age, you know, all kinds of stuff. And they haven't fulfilled, unfortunately, what Yahweh wanted them to. It's not the end of it for Judah, because there will be a remnant that will be saved. I love our brother. I pray for them. I hope they change. But here it is very clear that in the end time, it's the stone the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. It is through the good news message of Yeshua being the redemptive price for sin that is bringing people to faith, nothing else. You know, the Torah is a byproduct of salvation. The Torah does not give you salvation. It's a byproduct. The Torah teaches us how to live. Once we have salvation, what are we going to do for the next zillion of years? The Torah tells us. Tells us what to wear, tells us how to dress, tells us family relationships. But the Torah was never meant to give salvation. Torah was given by Moses, John 1. Salvation comes through the blood of Yeshua. Grace and truth come through that. And it is a free gift of Yahweh. So, wow. This is where we are today. Matthew 24:14. And this good news of the kingdom shall be published in all the earth for a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. So the tabernacle of David is found. Yahweh's spirit is being poured out in Revelation 3:7, where he says he gives an open door to his Philadelphia congregation. Clearly he talks about the key of David. This is the key of David, without a doubt. Because it's showing that David qualified from Yahweh for his bloodline, his lineage, for the second Adam to come through there, who was Yeshua. And now each of us that come to the truth, you know, become, you know, seeds of Israelites through that. So when you're looking at this, this is what Yahweh is doing. This is everything he's doing at the end time. And I've said this many, many times. You know a person's how spiritual they are and how close their relationship with Yahweh is by how much they're involved in Yahweh's work. Because it's not just about your personal feelings. It's not just about, you know, if you go and you pray and you cry, or, you know, you get this fuzzy feeling when you think about Yahweh. Those are nice things, and everybody, you know, is different the way that they worship. So I'm not criticizing it if it works for you. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is, as we're showing here, it's by the fruit that you're bearing. Like we read in Jacob 2 in verse 17, right? So also faith, if it does not have deeds, is dead being of itself. For as the body is dead, verse 26, apart from the spirit, so is faith dead without deeds, right? John 15, you know, this is what glorifies the Father, if you bear much fruit. And the fruit that Yahweh is doing in the end time, his work is this redemptive work worldwide to the nations of bringing them back in covenant to him. That's the work that Yahweh is doing in the end time. John 5 in verse 17 says, but Yeshua answered them, my Father works until now and I work. When Yeshua came to this earth, he had many things to do, but the bottom line is the most important thing in his life was the work of Yahweh. You know, he did not think of his will in anything, but every single thing he did, he thought of doing the work of Yahweh. And now as we are in the home stretch, the last few years of humanity, of this 6,000 year plan of Yahweh, before his millennium is coming, and Yeshua is coming back to this earth to set up the kingdom of Yahweh from Mount Zion in Jerusalem throughout all the earth, he is choosing each of us to be part of that. He's not pouring his spirit on us for us. He's pouring his spirit on us to go out and bring that to the world to produce fruit for him. And we read it in the parable of the talents. We will be accountable when he comes back. He's going to ask us what we produced. And there's a lot of ways to produce fruits. It doesn't mean that you particularly have to be responsible for bringing somebody to faith. That's great if you can. But you know, when you tithe, when you're faithful in tithing, and that money is going to help to bring people to faith, that's bearing fruit. When you're praying for the elders that are going in these mission trips, and you're praying for the congregations that are coming into it, that's bearing fruit. When you're going out in your community and you're helping the poor and the widow and the orphan and you're visiting the people in hospitals and helping the homeless, that's bearing fruit. So all these things are bearing fruit, but you have to put the will of Yahweh above your own will. John 4 in verse 34. John 4 in verse 34. Yeshua said to him, my food is that I should do the will of him who sent me and I may finish his work. Praise Yahweh. Do not say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see the fields, that they are white and have ripened for the harvest already. And it's very interesting. The only time this would happen, because he's saying this around Shavuot, which it's Shavuot right now. And the only time that all the fields would be white, but not harvested yet at Shavuot, is in a sabbatical year. So he's saying this in the sabbatical year, that even in the sabbatical year, we work. In the sabbatical year, we don't work physical work. We don't plant the physical things. And the whole reason we don't do that is so that we have the time to do the spiritual work of Yahweh. And now, we need these next couple of years, we really need to prepare physically so that when the Shemitah comes, we're not going to have to worry physically, because this next Shemitah is going to be a year of work for every one of us. It's going to be a year of dedication that all of us are going out, Yahweh willing, and finishing this work that he's giving us to do now. He says, "Do not say after 4 months comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see the fields. They are white and have ripened for the harvest already. And he that reaps receives a wage and gathers fruit unto life that is eternal. And the sower and the reaper together will rejoice," right? So it doesn't mean you have to be the one to literally tell that person the truth. The sower and the reaper rejoice together. "For in this the word is true, that another is the one sowing and another is the one reaping. I sent you to reap what you have not labored over. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Sometimes I'm getting people contacting me that originally were part of Church of God Seventh Day or another group. And now I'm entering into the rest of the work of somebody else and being able to finish and bring those people to salvation. And it doesn't make a difference, because in Yahweh's kingdom, as long as you're using the gifts that His Spirit is giving you, you're gonna bear fruit for that. You know. And I say in the kingdom, there'll be many a widow that nobody knows their names. They're not written in any book except the book of life, that are going to be in the top tier in the kingdom right underneath Yeshua. Because they fervently, maybe they didn't go out there, and be able to go on mission trips, but they fervently prayed day and night. They washed the feet of the saints with hospitality. And like the widow's mite, even though they had very little, they gave all they had. This is what Yeshua is looking for. We can't put it off any longer like Haggai. We need to build the house of Yahweh now. Like he said in Haggai, his house lays in ruins and you build your paneled houses. So here it is. Whose life are you living for? You know, it's not the year 1000 BC in the time of King David and Solomon. It's not the year of 50 AD right after Yeshua came in the days of the apostles. It's not the year 1000 AD in the days of the Waldenses. We're in the year 2019. We're in the year where, you know, there's not too many years after this, you know, a handful, and the kingdom of Yahweh will be here. At what point, you know, we have 5,900 and blah years, you know, we're just about the early 6,000. At what point do you stop making excuses and start to work, right? Because when Yeshua comes, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, because there's some people that will never stop. But when he comes, boy, will they be sorry at that point. But like we said, it's the sorrow of Esau. They're not sorry that they didn't do the work of Yahweh. They're sorry for what they're losing. And that's worldly sorrow that leads to death. It's Elohim-guided sorrow that leads to life, because that leads to repentance. It leads to change. It leads to you doing something different. It leads to you loving your neighbor more than yourself, not just thinking of yourself. So we can't put it off any longer. Daniel 11. Not too much more here, and we'll be finished. Daniel 11 and verse 32. He says, "And he will..." This is the end time. This is what the congregation of Yahweh is going to do. Daniel 11 is an amazing chapter. I'm going to be doing the book of Daniel shortly. Take a few weeks off here with the Bible study. And then once come back from Patmos, then we'll start that Bible study on Daniel. But Daniel 11 is about when the beast power overtakes the world, right? The beast power is in Jerusalem. There, Satan is the god of that, which he is the god of this world. And are the people of Yahweh still bearing fruit at that time? Listen. "And he will defile by flatteries those who do evil against the covenant. But the people who know their Elohim will be strong and will work. And those who understand among the people will instruct many. Yet they will stumble by the sword and by flame, by exile and by spoil for days. And when they shall stumble, they will be helped with a little help. But many will join them in hypocrisy," just like we see today. "And many of those who understand shall stumble to refine and to purge them and to make white to the time of the end, for it is yet for the appointed time." So, wow, right? Sometimes you say, I want to go witnessing. When am I going to get the opportunity? Just be patient. The key is prepare yourself. Do you know the 25 lessons? Do you know all the doctrine? Can you tell somebody when they ask you about repentance or about the Sabbath day, about the names of Yahweh, about bearing fruit, you know, about why the Holy Spirit isn't a person, you know, about false tongues? Do you know the scriptures to go to? And if not, then prepare, get yourself ready. Like I always say, success is what? When preparation meets opportunity. You have to prepare because the day's going to come. Like, we don't know. Like it's saying here, well, look at this. There's a day coming where the people of Yahweh, you know, are going to stumble. They're going to go into exile, maybe in prison. You have no idea. You have no idea what tomorrow can bring, but prepare yourself. So when that day comes, you're going to be ready. Because one thing is certain, the people of Yahweh will do exploits and they will work. They will work. So there is a great work that's going to be done here in the end time. And we got to be ready for it. And that's why he's pouring his spirit out on now. That's why he's giving us more, not just of his spirit, but more spiritual gifts. That's why he's uniting us as a body so that we don't have to deal with all these trivial, petty issues and we can work on his work, which is redeeming the sons of mankind. This is what Shavuot is all about. Last scripture here, Habakkuk 1 and verse 2. Habakkuk 1, back up to Habakkuk, like I always like to say. O Yahweh, until when shall I cry for help, and you do not hear? I cry to you violence, but you do not save. Very interesting. What's that word in Hebrew for violence? Hamas. Hamas. So I can really sympathize with Habakkuk, because this is the way I feel sometimes, you know, in Israel. Seeing all the horrible things that are going on there. Seeing, you know, the homosexuality and seeing the New Age and seeing the way that the people are against the Torah. Seeing now that the not even Shabbat anymore is being kept there. Although it wasn't kept so much before, but at least the stores were closed. But I feel this way. And then verse 3, and even with Hamas, you know, coming and attacking Israel. And verse 3 says, why do you make me see evil and you look upon toil? For destruction and violence, Hamas, are before me. And there is strife and contention rises up. On account of this, the Torah has become helpless. And justice does not continuously go forth. For the wicked surrounds the righteous, so justice goes forth being perverted. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Not only in Israel today, but all in the world. Everywhere you go in the world, you are seeing this. Because it's a world of fake news. It's a world where Satan is the god of this world. And everything is corrupted. But look at Yahweh's answer. One of the most encouraging scriptures in the Bible. Because this scripture is for now. And look what he says. Look among the nations. What are we saying? Where is our ministry? The ministry is the people he's calling around the whole world. Look among the nations and behold. And be amazed. Be amazed. He says it twice. For a work is working in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told to you. A work is being worked in your days, which you would not believe unless it was told to you. And what is that work? Acts 15:17. So that Yahweh will seek the remainder of mankind in all the nations, those whom my name is called over them, said Yahweh, who made all these things. Wow. So we got a great task ahead of us, and we've only just begun. The exciting part is, though, we don't have to feel any inhibition. You know why? Because it's Yahweh's work, not us. It's not about us feeling pressure. How are we going to get it done? How can we do it with them? Doesn't make a difference. This is Yahweh's work. Yahweh will get it done. We are just spokes in the wheel. And as long as we keep surrendering to that spirit, it is going to keep growing in us day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. And all I know is I'm not the same person I was when that Shemitah ended. And I see it. And that's why I'm excited, because I know this year there's going to be more outpouring than ever before. There's no justice in the land or the world, but Yahweh will do a work that we couldn't believe in the end. And here we are. Here we are, each of us, to be a part of that very work. We have to fully embrace that work. We have to make this the highest priority in our life. Yahweh is pouring out his spirit in his end time remnant. We need to be praying in earnestness to receive it and to be blessed to be part of this great work and to bear fruit for his name and for his kingdom. We need to stand firm in our belief in Yeshua and don't compromise with his truth. Even until death, we need to be sons of light. No more excuses. The train is leaving the station. and it's on the way to the kingdom of Yahweh. Like the saying goes, they are the best of times, they are the worst of times. And here we are. Let's build the house of Yahweh, and the time is now. All aboard! Haksameach. Let's pray for the times we're living in. Dear Yahweh, our wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father, Father, we praise you and we bless you for this special Shavuot. We thank you, Father, that you know the end from the beginning and your ways are from eternity. And Father, we are just so grateful that in this horrible, horrible world of Satan, where he is the God of this world, that you've taken us out of that. You've taken us, our minds and our hearts and our souls, away from commercial Babylon. And you made us as your ambassadors, Father, for your kingdom. And you allow us each and every day of our life, Father, to worship you, to praise you, and to bear fruit for that kingdom. And we pray, Father, for this coming year now, that you would continue to pour your spirit on your remnant all around the world, for each and every person hearing this who is turning toward you with a repentant heart, in faith, and staying unspotted from the world, Father, that you would bless them and that you would help us as a body, Father, to get to those souls, whether they're in China or North Korea or Africa or Asia or Central America, America, North America, wherever they are in the world, Australia, that you would help us, Father, to get to these souls and to bring the truth, to baptize. And Father, we just praise you. We pray for our brethren that are in prison and that you would bless them and also help us to baptize the people there that need it. And Father, we just give you all praise and honor and glory. And we thank you so much, Father, for calling us out to be your children and to be the very bride of your Son, Yeshua Messiah. In his name we pray. Hallelujah. Haksameach.